Okay, so, yeah, so we're continuing in Sanhedrin. Bays, I'm a bays, give them an elf. All right, so let's see if we can get some, put it together here and get a clear picture of what's going on. Okay, so what do we have? So we have an interesting, we step back and take the big picture, right? What do we have? We have a machlokas. We have a machlokas in the Gemara about the minimal shear for dayanim, right? For hodos avos, right? In other words, according to who is it? Rabbi Avohu, and the whole first way of learning, you need a minimum of 3 dayanim, right? You need a minimum of 3 dayanim. And according to Rav Acha, Breid Ravika, by Hodos Avos, all you need is 1 judge. Okay, so Rashi learns, there's a machlokas in the Rishonim about this. I mean, maybe we'll just, you know, just be aware of it. But Rashi learns everything comes down to Erev Parshios. That's what everything comes down to. Right? If you hold Erev Parshios, that means Hodos Avos are included in the Parsha of Shomer Sachar. And Memela, you're going to have 3 dayanim for Hodos Avos. And if you hold any Erev Parshios Kosef Khan, then you only need 1 hedgeot for Hodos Avos. But other Rishonim, like the Rush, for instance, the other Rishonim learn a little differently. I don't know if it makes much of a difference, you know, in the outcome of things, but you should just be aware. I mean, they hold that it's possible to learn Erev Parshios and still darshan Batzedek Tishbot. To mean, even if you hold Erev Parshios, it's still possible to say that 1 judge would be good by Hodos Avos. From a different drush of Batzedek Tishbot. Tishbot is singular. Okay. So, so you might see, if we go ahead and do the run, you might see others referencing Batzedek Tishbot as the source for 1 judge by Hodos Avos. So Rashi keeps everything into the Erev Parshios. But in terms of the theory, I don't know if it makes much of a difference. Theoretically speaking, I don't think it makes, in terms of the idea, I don't think it makes much of a difference. But let's approach it like this now. So what's the question? So the question is, in the machlokas now, what can we how do we approach, how do we define this machlokas about whether hodos v'halvos is 1 dayan or 3? And according to Rashi, it goes by Erev Parshios. Okay, hold on. So the question that the Ran raises is, even if you don't hold from Erev Parshios, you should still learn it from Mishpat Echad, right? Because, so it comes out, I mean, it comes out like this. I mean, the question of whether it's 1 or 3 means there's a machlokas on the basic, it would seem, it comes down to machlokas on the basic unit of Basedin, right? If you're going to say it's always 3, it seems that they're holding that, I mean, the maskana, the pasuk is telling you, there's no such thing as a based in lower than 3, right? If you hold any of Parshios, it comes out that there are 2 types of bate dinam, or many, you know, if you're starting, starts off with 1 hedgeot, then that's how Hodos Avos, then it goes to 3 munchin, for gezeilos v'chavos. So the question is sort of the same question, but what's the difference between the 1 and the 3, right? What's the difference in the idea of Basedin from 1 to 3? And the Ran, and then we'll take it up through the Ran's question. The Ran's question is, even if you say that there's no Erev Parshios, why don't you learn it from Mishpat Echad? What do we learn from Mishpat Echad? Let's just get that straight. What do we learn from Mishpat Echad? We learn Drisha v'Chakira, right? So why don't we say, just like by Drisha v'Chakira, it doesn't say it by Hodos v'Halvos, right? It doesn't say it by Hodos v'Halvos. Where is it said, by the way? Ein Sofik Rabbi Chanina?
Yeah, there we go.
So the Ron says like this. He says, right, that's the one, right? He says, right. He says, the Afal Gav, yeah, he says, V'chein na mikiyom ha-Rabbi Chanina, Dover Torah, Echad Dinei Mamanus, Echad Dinei Nefosh, B'Shul Chakira, Hai Dinei Mamanus, Dekom, Rotz Loma, Kol Dinei Mamanus. Right? Hein hodos v'avos, hein gizelos v'chavos. V'yafal gav, d'hai krod, d'mishpot echad, yelochem b'chavolos, mamon k'siv. Right? D'chsiv mine, l'el mine, maka behem yishal meno, maka adam yumos. Afilu achi maisinan mine, raya, l'fisha kol dinei mamanus echad heim. L'inyin zeh. Da Talmud mishpat echad gomer. Okay. So what does that mean? V'im ikar devarav shelo nachlok bein dinei nefashos l'dinei mamonis mishum mishpat echad kol shkem shelo nachlok bein dinei mamonis atzman dahainu bein gezelos v'chavolos lo dos v'avos lo havi mishpat echad. Okay. So that's his question, basically. Right? That if the pasuk of Mishpat Echad is equating even nefashos and mamonos, right? That's what the Mishnah says in Echad Dinei Mamonos. That's the first Mishnah. It says Echad Dinei Mamonos veEchad Dinei Nefashos bedrisha v'chakira shenema Mishpat Echad yelochem. Right. So Mishpat Echad is telling you what. It's like a Kal V'chomer he's making. If Mishpat Echad will equate things that are so different from each other, namely Nefashos and Mamonos, so then certainly you should equate things within Mamonos to each other, right? So if we learn Drisha V'chakira by Dine Mamonos from Mishpat Echad, which is really from Dine Nefashos, so then why don't I say that I'll learn three dayanim by hodos v'havos from three dayanim by gezelos v'chavolos, which is very close, right? That's the question. Yeah. So let's just think about this for a minute. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Why isn't there 23? Why you say Mishpat Echad, there should be 23? That was Yitzi's question, right? So we have to understand what Mishpat Echad means a little bit better. Right? Let's take that question. What does it really mean? What does Mishpat Echad really mean? Okay. Mishpat Echad Yelchem Lager, was it? Let me see. Here, I have it over here. Mishpat Echad Yelchem Kager Ka'ezrach Yiyah Ki Ani Hashem Elokecha. Okay. Okay, so does it mean that Mishpat Echad Yelochem doesn't mean that every case has the same laws, right? Doesn't mean every case has the same laws, because we definitely treat different cases differently. But what does it mean? I mean, forget about the drushes. What does it mean on the face of it? Mishpat Echad Yelochem. Kager ke'ezrach yiyah, ki ani Hashem Elokecham. What's the statement? Forget about drushes. What's the plain pshat of the pasuk? Right, that there should be an equal application of the din to every party. Right, if it's not talking about, it's not saying there aren't different laws for different cases. But it's saying that everybody, that the law, the same, the law should be applied the same way to everybody, regardless of their status. We don't say, if a ger steals, there's one din. If an ezrach steals, another din. If a rich person does something, there's one din. If a poor person does something, there's another din. Right? There's a uniformity, what you might call like an equal treatment under the law. Right? We don't have like a caste system where we say certain people get certain types of justice and other people get different kinds of justice. Right? We say whatever the mishpat is based on the case, whatever the law of the case is, that's all we're concerned about. We're not concerned about who the parties happen to be in this case, right? That's mishpat echid yelachem. Okay. So how does that apply to drisha v'chakira? Why does that mean? How does it apply to drisha v'chakira? That means, therefore, that if there's drisha v'chakira by mammon by nefashos, there should also be drisha v'chakira by mammonis. How do we get that from mishpat echid yelachem? Yeah. Okay. So it means to say that Edom is the way we gather our information, right? The Beis Din knows what happened via the Haggadah's Edus, okay? And we know there's Edus by Mominus too. So if I see by Nefashos that what? That the Edom are subjected to a Drisha v'Chakira. So what do Chazal say? They say that's not a special halacha by dinei nefashos. That just reveals how we get the information from the Edom. In other words, the Edom are our eyes and ears. They're relaying the facts to the Dayanim, right? The Edom really just relay the facts. Well, it's interesting, but they more or less relay the facts, right? And the Torah is telling you that there's a process of getting the facts from the Edom. How? What is the process? Namely, we have to verify that they're telling us the truth. So drisha v'chakira is really just a method of using of getting the edus from the Edom. So that has nothing to do with a particular. That doesn't have anything to do with the stringency of dinei mammon nefashos or anything like that. That has to do with the nature of the edus, the nature of getting the information, the way we get the information. If I tell you you need edus, then edus that's not verified is lacking in edus.
So this mishpat echad, this has to be the
same. Ah, good. So then we can say more broadly than we were saying before, not just that mishpat echad means every individual is judged the same way, but it means to say in mishpat there are certain processes of mishpat. There's certain methods of mishpat, right? There's certain standards of mishpat. And there's a uniform standard of mishpat. If we say that edim are accepted via drisha v'chakira, if we say edus in order to be good, it has to be probed and verified, then that's not a din in a particular case. That's a din. That's one of the elements of mishpat itself. The veracity of the Edom. So it doesn't make sense to say that that's only a din by dinei mammonis, nefashos. Let me explain, because I know for myself that unless you hear like a counter example where it only applies to dinei nefashos, it's hard to differentiate what I'm talking about. So what would be an example of something that is by dinei nefashos and is only be it by dinei nefashos? So there are a number of things, but basically, it comes down. I would say there's one heading. There's one heading by Dina Nefashos, that. Which part? Hitzilu. There's a special mitzvah by Dina Nefashos of Hitzilu Ha'edah. That's a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah that the Beis Din should try to exonerate. You understand? Now that's not a. We don't say that's a din in mishpat itself. That's a special halacha by dinei nefashos alone. That it's a situation, we don't say, well, look, Torah says v'yitzilu by dinei nefashos, so therefore we always should try to get the defendant off the hook. We should always try to get the defendant off the hook in every case. No, that's obviously a particular din in the institution of nefashos because the person's life is at stake. You understand? That's not an intrinsic idea in Mishpat. That's saying that there's a special requirement by Din and Nefashos to arrange things in a way, like for instance, they don't. If once someone says Zakai, they can't go back to Chayav. Right. You always do Zakai first. And you always post him bezichus. You never post him bechov. Right. Right. You don't go by a rov of one. You go by a rov of two to convict. All of those things stem from the nature of the case of Dini Nefashos. They don't stem from a universal principle of Mishpat. But if I tell you that Edim have to be checked before they're accepted, that's a basic idea of Mishpat itself. Another example is, for instance, by Dini Nefashos, you don't by Dini Nefashos do Drisha v'Chakira. Right? That's the basic. Where were you? What was the time? What was the place? But by Din and Nefashos, you do even more things. You do what they call bedikos. You ask like irrelevant questions. What color was his shirt? You understand? By Din and Nefashos, by Din and Mamonos, the basic drisha v'chakira are the elements of the case, as they say. Who, what, when, where. That's the basic information. Right, if the basic information is not tested, then you're lacking in your edus. But by dinei mamana, dinei nefash is a special halacha of there's an extra mitzvah of yitzilu, which means we try to trip up the edim, we try to catch them on minor details that aren't even part of the case. You understand? But that's not coming from the idea. You have to try to sift out, saying what is part of mishpat itself. And what is part of a separate mitzvah of the Beis Din of Vihitzilu? You understand? So Drisha v'Chakir, we say, is part of Mishpat itself. But the Bedikos, for instance, are not. That's not. That's already, the Beis Din has an agenda that they're trying to move the case one way or the other. You don't like that, Mayor?
You're not trying to get anyone off by the law.
We're not saying there's an idea of justice to always try to get the defendant off. That's not an idea of justice. That's an idea of the respect for life. You understand? That's an idea of the sanctity of life, even of a guy like this. Okay? But the idea of mishpat means we should bring in Edim and examine them before we accept what they have to say. And the basic examination is coming from the idea of Mishpat itself. Okay? So now the question becomes, how do you understand the difference between one Dayan and three Dayan? Right? The Ron's question is, if you hold that Midaraisa you only need one hedgeot, why don't we learn, or let's put it this way, if you don't have Eruv Parshios, so you don't have a source for one Dayan, for three Dayanim, by Hodos Vavos, why don't we automatically apply it from Mishpat Echad to take the three of from Gezeilos V'Chavalos and apply it to Hodos Vavos? So what does he say? Let's see what he says first. So he says like this. Yeah. He says, "V'chi tema im kein afilu l'man d'leis le'ir of parshios niboy midoraisa bo'dos v'vos shlosha mumchin d'alfinan l'migizelos v'chavolos mikro de mishpat echad yelachem leisa." There's no argument that we should automatically take three mumchin from gizelos v'chavolos and apply it to odos v'vos al pi mishpat echad. Tehasam tema achrina hu. See what he's saying? You always have to find a tema achrina. It's not Mishpat itself. It's an extra thing. She'inyin hamcho'os hadayonim einon shove b'kol hadinim. Ela kefi chomer hadin hi hamcho'os hadayonim. K'mo she'ata roeh dayonin shel ayin gimel, v'shel chof gimel, v'shel hei, v'shel shlosho. Hilkach af agav de gizelos v'chavolos bo'u mumchin, haynu machmas chomer hadin. Ova hodos v'avos dekili, lo havi bo inon mumchen ilav mishum iruv parshios. Now he's throwing together mumchen and three. No, he's throwing together mumchen and three. Interesting. So what is it? Bekitz, what he's saying, he's focusing on the three. But what's his point? What's his point? That, and this is really the question, it would seem, right? Where do you put the qualifications of the Dayanim? How do you consider the qualifications of the Dayanim? Is it like a Drisha V'Chakira? Or is it like going from 3 to 23 to 71? So let's talk it out a little bit. Yeah. In other words, he's saying that the question, the Havamina that the Ron had, or the question that the Ron had, is like this, saying, look, just like by Drisha V'Chakira, we say we need tested Edim, we need Edim that are put to the test. That's just Mishpat. Why don't we say by the Dayanim that Mumchen is also just the basic idea, right? So he says, no, the being a Mumche is not intrinsically necessary for the Mishpat. That's just goes according to the severity of the case. A more severe case has greater requirements. Just like you see, when it's a national issue, you have to go to Sanhedrin. When it's a capital case, you have to go to 23. And when it's Gezeilas Chavos, you have to go to 3. But if it's simple case, like a loan, then you only need 1. Don't think that 3 mumchin is a... Don't think that the quality of mumchin is part of Mishpat itself. It's not. It's midin acher. It goes by the severity of the case. But we have to see if we can define this a little better. And it's funny, he doesn't take up the 3, the issue of 3 to 1. From 3 to 1. Right. That's what he says. Just to finish it off, he says, Hilkoch afal gav de gezeilas v'chavolos bo'u mumchen haynu machmas chomer adin. Yeah. The only reason why you need 3, you need mumchen by gezeilas v'chavolos, is because of the severity of the din. But hodos v'havos is kili, lighter. You don't need mumchen, unless it was Irv Parshios. So what is the scale of chomer din? I mean, what is it? Is it just because he's saying what's more chomer? What's more chomer by gezeilas v'chavolos? Let's ask that. What's more chomer by gezeilas v'chavolos and hodos v'havos? I understand misa, you're killing the guy, but gezeilas v'chavolos, you're just taking money. It's money. In either case, it's money. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says dini mominus in general really refers to gezeilas v'chavolos hodos v'havos. So what's the chomer ha'inyan by gezeilas v'chavolos over hodos v'havos?
Like, I'm not exactly sure what that
is. In other words, by chomer ha'inyan, he means it's not because of mishpat, but it's because of the severity of the case. In other words, mishpat is, in terms of mishpat, it's the same, right?
Like,
but there's a severity over here that we want to, that we up the qualifications, yeah. That's correct, right, that's right. Now, as Rashi explained on the Mishnah, Gezeilas v'chavolos is different than Hodos v'Havos. By Gezeilas v'chavolos, there's actually a Maisa ha-machayev. There's actually a Maisa that you're condemning the person for doing, right? The Machayev of the Mamon stems from an Averas Hagavra, right? The Machayev of the Mamon, well, let's put it this way. The person is you're condemning the maisa of the gavra that he took the money without rishus. Hodos v'havos is a little different. It's a little different. Why? Because he got the money with permission. Right? It's a failure to repay. It's a failure to repay his debt. So Yonah's suggesting, maybe that's the difference. By Hodos V'Havos, you're not condemning. It's the case is not. We were saying that Gezeilas V'Chavolos is like the guy was attacking. It's really being brought as an attack on the for attacking the other gavra. And the truth of the matter is, the Torah itself portrays it that way. Ayin tachas ayin, right? That there should be some retribution against the person, not just a repaying, right? But you can't trans. It's not trans. We translate it into mamonis, but it's considered like it's considered more than mamonis alone. It's considered some sort of an onesh to the person. Whereas hodos v'havos, it's not a case of the person attacking the other person. He borrowed the money, he needed it, and whatever it is, he doesn't have the ability to pay it back. So he's trying to save face. He's trying to say he didn't borrow it, whatever it is. But it's not something that is an indictment of the person in the way he treated the other individual. So there's more at stake over here in terms of what's being said about the person. If I tell you someone stole, that's a different kind of a person. He's capable of much more than a person who simply didn't pay back a loan. I would trust the guy who didn't pay back a loan with things I wouldn't trust the Goslin with, right? Doesn't mean he doesn't have, a person who doesn't pay back a loan doesn't mean he has a disregard for other people's property. Whatever it was, he thought he could pay him back and he would never steal like that. But he fooled himself or he got really stuck, whatever it is. So in terms of, I think you're right, Josh, in a certain sense, that it is something new because it's a pronouncement. You know, you're labeling this guy with a certain type of I mean, someone who's a Ganef is puzzled from Adis, is a Russia. It's considered a Russia, right? I don't think a guy's a Russia if he doesn't pay back a loan. Is he a puzzled from Adis? I don't know. Check that out. But it's a not. But those are Maisa Isser that you really considered a Russia for. Yeah. But what comes out from this? Okay, it's fine that we have some rationale to differentiate the cases, but what's the svara over here from 1 to 3? So it's interesting. It means to say that what? So what's the ikar of mishpat then, and what is the extra din of mumchen and 3? Yeah, yeah. No, it's by drish v'chakir, by the other cases, drish v'chakir is the basic way of analyzing edim. And v'hitzilu is a separate mitzvah by dini nefashos. So we have something over here. We say, you know, the one is really mishpat. One hedjet is really mishpat, but 3 mumchen is a separate thing of what? Yeah. Another way of looking at it is this is really the machlokas between, it would seem, this is the machlokas between the two shitas. That extra thing of the mumchen and the 3, is that intrinsically part of mishpat, or is it something that's extra to mishpat? Right? I mean, obviously a hedjo, guy's got to be a... What does a mumcha really mean? Mumcha over here, in these contexts, what does mumcha mean? Samach, right? I mean, certainly the hedjot has to know the halacha. I mean, that's... See, let me give you an example. Let's say you have, like, let's say someone has a shayla, a halachic shayla, right? So, really, me'ikar adin, anybody who knows what the halacha is qualified to give you a psak. The Gemara says, we'll get to it next to the next daf or two. The Gemara says, there's no, what's the idea of smicha by psak of Isser v'Heter? There's no halacha like that. The Gemara says, the whole idea of smicha, what we call smicha today for Isser v'Heter, is really just an extra thing, just to make sure that you don't give someone that someone who doesn't know how to communicate properly doesn't say things that are going to confuse other people. But me'ikar adin, anybody who knows what the psak is, what the din is it kosher, is it asr, is it tamei, is it tar, whatever, whoever knows what the halachos are, can give a valid psak. You understand? So apparently, that's a similar idea over here. That one hedjot means what? It means as long as the person knows the halacha and has a good grasp on the facts, then he can be machria the din. Meaning to say, Mishpat is really just what? It's like a hora. It's like a psak. It's like a psak. It's nothing different. You want to know, does he owe me the money? So you can have a psak where a person says, is this mutter to do on Shabbos or to us to do on Shabbos? You learn through the sugya, understand the facts of the shaila, and give a psak. You want to know, does he owe me the money or not? So it's just basically, the din is really just no different than a psak in halacha.
Psak with the seal of approval.
Right, mumchen really means smuchen. Really means the person has smicha. That's the real mumchen that we're talking about. Okay. It means that there's smuchen. I believe that smuchen. Yeah, Rashi says mumchen. It's the dear maskal mumchen. Based on smuchen, v'notlu rishus minasi lodon. Right. So it means to say it really is an interesting question. It's an interesting question. So what the Ran is saying is that just the question of basic mamonos, does the money belong to him or does the money belong to him, right, according to the Shita, that's just a question of a hachra of a chacham. And it's a halachic issue. It's simply a halachic issue, right? Does the halacha say that he owes the money or whether he owes the money? That's no different than paskening, is this chicken a trefa or not? Okay. But once you're getting to the position of creating a shame in the gavra of a gazlan or a chovel, that's a different realm already. That's a qualitatively different process. That's a qualitatively different result. And therefore, you're in a different process, I would say. And for that process, you need... What? You don't know what you're saying? You need to be authorized from the Sanhedrin. You have to be authorized from the Nasi of Sanhedrin. Can we clarify that a little bit? And three, and we'll throw three in there too.
Just thinking three is so that, there's a counterbalance going on.
Well, in terms of the three, I was thinking that what's the difference between one and three? Three is deliberation. Three is deliberation. Masu ma'an. You have the beginning of, it's like a person learning alone, learning with a chavrusa. So you can have good ideas on your own. And we wouldn't question an idea that you have on your own. But was it deliberated properly? You understand? So once we enter into the realm of labeling a person and changing his status, that requires two things now. That requires, as a person on his own, we don't doubt that a person can arrive at a proper conclusion on his own, like a person can arrive at a proper psak on his own. But once he's affecting a status of someone in Klal Yisrael, he has to have the authority of the ultimate. He has to be licensed, so to speak, by the ultimate authority of Klal Yisrael, because he's already messing with Klal Yisrael. He needs to be authorized from Sanhedrin to do so. And it's not something, and we institute like a hitzilu, some minimal level of a hitzilu, to have some check and balance, some method of check within the process itself. There should be, he has to be authorized, because without the authorization, he doesn't have the right to affect the status of another Jew, that the authority from the ultimate body of halacha and the overseers of the am, he doesn't have the right to change someone's status, and the idea of changing someone's status is severe, and we have to can only be done with a deliberative body, with a body that intrinsically is subject to testing of its opinion one against the other. That's like we say, like by Sanhedrin, by the way, when they do a capital case, if everybody says chayiv right away, he's pater. There has to be some deliberation. You understand? So we put into effect the three and the mumchen together represent different, slightly different concepts, right? The mumchen represents the authority. And the three, I think, represents the basic element of deliberation. But that's not mishpat itself. That's just because we're not saying that you can't arrive at a decision without being authorized or without having the deliberation. But it's not like drisha v'chakira. It's not like drisha v'chakira. Drisha v'chakira is the edim are coming from the outside. The basin has no knowledge of them. And why should they accept them? So they have to pass a test to be accepted. But the mishpat is coming from the dayan's mind. So if he's a dayan to sit on the basin, then we would trust his decision, even one. But there's a safeguard, but there's a necessity for smicha, for the mumchin and the deliberation because of the chomer inyan. And I think the chomer inyan is in two ways. It's the chomer inyan because it means because of what he's doing. He needs the authority, and we don't want to let the status be changed without some minimum form of a check on the process itself. That's deliberation. Right. So the question is: so what is the sheet of Erev Parshios? You know what I mean? Well, we're thinking about the other side. The side is the Erev Parshios. So it's always a question. It's not clear what it means. That was the one who says Erev Parshios Kosov Khan, that means he needs the pasuk of Erev Parshios, right? If it was no Erev Parshios, he wouldn't have learned it from Mishpat Echad, right? But now that we have Erev Parshios, it seems that it's coming to tell you that is the minimal shear of judgment. In other words, there's a maisa of mishpat itself. And the maisa mishpat requires deliberation. That's just the part of hora'ah is just an abstract, a simple hora'ah. Is this kosher? Is it treif? Is it usser? Is it mutter? That's something that you definitely don't need. That's not considered mishpat. That's hora. Mishpat intrinsically needs deliberation and authority. But let's see if we can think this through a little better. It would seem it's because it's anything that's bein gavra le gavra requires an authority. It requires authority and deliberation. Now, is it true? It's not like Chovel and Mazik, where you're accusing the person of being, of violating another person, but you are deciding between the rights of two people. Hora'ah is not that way. I want to know, is this kosher or is it treif? It's not an inyan between two people. So the question is, maybe to take Yitzi's way of looking at it, maybe we could just put it philosophically speaking, that you need mumchen, you need the authority of Sanhedrin, who are the overseers of Klal Yisrael, you need their authority, and you need deliberation when we're in the social framework, okay? Not by hora per se, but when we're dealing with society, okay? The question is it only when we're dealing with crimes against society or anything that has to do with the rights within the society? In other words, according to the first way, it's only mishpat, you only need mumchin and three because you're accusing, because you're labeling the person an outcast from society. Right? You're labeling him an offender against the norm, the standards of society. Whereas by hodos v'halvos, you're not. Okay? But it still is apportioning among society. In other words, is it, let's see if we can define it a little better. Yeah, Josh? No. Right, so let's think about it a little more. But I would just put it briefly like this. That is it a question of Chomer Ha'inyan, like the Ran says, that you need three and the Mumchin, when, because of the type of case that you're accusing a person, of being a certain, you're accusing the person of an offense against another, which is basically labeling him as a criminal, right? Which is it's because of that effect. It's because of that the severity of the case itself that you're actually labeling the person an offender. Okay, just generally speaking, or is it that Beis Din has no needs reshus in order to be able to affect the moment, in order to be able to change the rights of a person between two people. In order to affect the rights between two people, they need to have reshus from the Sanhedrin, and to be a certain kind of a deliberation whenever they're adjudicating between two people. Is it because they're adjudicating between two people itself that requires that differentiates mishpat from hora, or is it because the shame that's being chal is a shame in the gavra? They can't create a shame in the gavra without gimel mumchin, or is it a din that they simply can't be noto mizev and nosin lizeh? They can't adjudicate between two claimants against each other without being in a certain position of authority in the am. All right, let's think it over. I would just one more take at it, one more bite at the apple. That the jurisdiction, the requirement for smicha and for mumchin and gimel is a requirement for authorization from Sanhedrin, like Yonah is saying. I think that's true. Because Sanhedrin represents the authority that's vested with the responsibility of the Am, to keep the Am, to keep tabs on the Am. They institute takanos and gezeros. They settle all the disputes within that rise up to their court. So the jurisdiction of Sanhedrin is the klal. So the question though is, what do you need the smicha for? Is it when you're changing the status of someone in the am, or is it any time you're entering their jurisdiction? Meaning to say, even just dealing with a dispute within the nation. Now, is this dealing with two people who argue whether you owe me money or not? The result is not a label that's going to essentially change a gavra in the klal, but you're treading on their territory already because it arises between people. It is a social. It has a social element. It's among the people, as opposed to someone who has a chicken and wants to know if it's kosher or not. That has nothing to do with the klal. So is it only? So we're saying, it has to. You need to go. You need the mumchen when it's in the jurisdiction of the Beis Din. But is it only when you're changing something within the jurisdiction, or just treading in their jurisdiction alone? And that's why he keeps focusing on mumchen. I mean, we also are focusing on mumchen more. I mean, we just know that they go together. But he sounds like he's putting the weight on the mumchen. It's interesting. There's no not midoraisa.